talk with me today.
Absolutely.
I was able to get the DVD screener, actually, in yesterday's mail, so I was able to enjoy your film last night. And I got to say, bravo, bravo. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, great. Awesome.
I was, I'm a big fan of the original Rutger Hauer version, of course. And I was curious to see what you were going to do with it. And I got to tell you, it really came across as a completely different film, yet it had enough of the original elements that, you know, you could still make the tie-in. Are you following me at all?
Oh, yeah. That was my personal mandate for myself. I itemized it. I'm not a fan of remakes, and so it's ironic that I found myself in the middle of one. And the reason I'm not a fan is I don't like to copy someone else's work. But what I took the hitcher for was I thought there was an opportunity to do exactly what you said, which was to create a new movie that is that echoes the original, and certain particular scenes actually, you know, delivers on the original, and bring something, you know, hopefully to a new audience and to a new generation, and you know, I think the only real direct reference to the original is clearly the truck scene and the title.
Right, right, absolutely. So, and of course the main character name.
Right, of course, yeah. I mean, there's things like, yeah, and even Jim Holiday exists in this, you know, but it's a different take on Jim Holiday.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a pleasant surprise for me, and I was great to see that you brought it off as an R, not another PG 13. Watered down version. You know, it was good. I wanted to ask you though, when you went into the project, what was your original thinking? I mean, did you want to take it to a different vision, or did you feel you could take it? Because I know you guys based it on the original Eric Red screenplay.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of different connotations of it. We tried to go way different. Which was when they signed me on, I tried to push it into only really just the name of the hitcher being the same, but basically creating a whole different movie. And that was too far. The studio, Michael Bay, and the producers all had an affinity and a love for the original, and wanted to see more of the classic scenes represented. So then we kind of did another draft of it that was pretty much very close to Eric's original script. And then it got a green light at that point, and then as I was, you know, I decided to stay on because I felt invested and felt like I had to talk with the producers and stuff, and I said, you know, well, if we're going to do this stuff, then I want to kind of attach, I want to do it from a different perspective, you know, I want to have them get in the car with the dead family, you know, I want to not have the guy hitchhike in the rain, because I think you'll lose your audience in the first 10 minutes if you actually have a hitchhiker in this movie.
Right.
You know, no one would ever pick up a hitchhiker in the rain in a trench coat. Oh, especially not two teenagers, and especially not one that has a girlfriend with them. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
But right, especially in this day and age. A lot has changed, you know, in the last 20-some years, yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and they were very agreeable and felt like they wanted to do the same thing, so I became sort of this translator of all the things that I think we needed to do to kind of evolve it from the original, and they were really a great collaborator, you know, a collaboration team of people that allowed me to push it, you know, about 80%, you know, out of the original's way from the greenlit draft even, and so, you know, I feel like the movie has exactly what you said. It echoes. It's kind of a neat combination where it echoes the original. You know, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, diehard fans of the original, you know, some of them just hate any remake, period. But for the ones that can enjoy what we did, like you said, like yourself, you know, it's you know, I think there's enough new stuff in there that it's not, you know, like watching a movie a second time with a new, you know, with new texture and. And at the same time, it brings some of the classic moments back to life with new team of people.
Right, and that's what I want to try to, in my coverage of this DVD release, try to bring to the fans that maybe aren't seeing it because they're tired of, you know, remakes. This really isn't, I wouldn't call this a remake. It stands on its own.
Yeah, actually, they changed the name of it in Europe.
Did they really? What are they calling it?
Well, they kind of discovered that the hitcher with title was kind of, they call it Road to Hell.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, no, I think
thought it was very, very well done. I want to talk to you just briefly about Sean as the John Ryder character. Again, you know, I'm really trying hard not to compare it to the original, but I mean, Rutger Hauer pretty much personified that character, and I thought the film was going to pretty much live and die on the John Ryder character. And but I'll tell you what, though, Sean just pulls it off amazingly.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of that was it's kind of looking at different people at different points in their career. Like, Rutger was known for being eccentric and kind of like, you know, just flamboyant with his bad guy personas. Sean's not known for that. Sean's known for being frighteningly real.
Right.
And dramatic and subtle and just, you know, much, he's a different type of actor. And so when he signed on, I sort of discovered that about him and then sort of created a format where he could be him. Or, you know, not John Bean, but could create a writer that is his interpretation and what he played to his strengths as an actor. And hopefully provide a different take on John Ryder than the original and not necessarily try to be as eccentric as Rutger was. You know, I mean, Rutger is Rutger. You know, it's star power. There's Sean's a star that does things his way, and then Rutger is a star that did things that way. And so to play the difference up between their two interpretations was something I tried to, at every corner, try to do.
Well, it certainly worked, because he, like you said, it's a different interpretation of the same character, but it's equally as powerful, and I really feel in some instances comes off better in this film than it did in the original, because of what you were saying with Rutger being so flamboyant with the Sean's portrayal of it. It kind of takes you by surprise how violent he actually is.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it made it a little scarier.
In the prison transport.
So now, from what I understand of your background, you've had a strong music video background. This is your first feature film.
Yes.
What did you think of working in the horror genre?
I love horror movies. I think that I would look forward to doing another horror movie if I had complete control of it. What I mean by that is, like, I'm fans of Poltergeist, I'm fans of The Sixth Sense, I'm fans of movies that really have an individual voice, and for that matter, I'm fans of all the original movies that everybody's remaking these days. You know, that had original voices, Freddy Krueger's, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, and, you know, some of those movies are, you know, even Reanimator and the original Texas movies, you know.
Right.
It's hard to, you know, I mean, with The Hitcher, one of my biggest sort of challenges was this personal identity. You know, like, well, what's my, you know, like, it's hard to walk into a movie and spend every day trying to deconstruct what someone else has done and succeeded at, you know, and finding a new solution. It's just like, I would like to walk into a movie that I could really just let my eccentrics out. And I tried that with this, but there was a lot of love for that original. And for the most part, all my other collaborators felt like we needed to stay a little closer. But I mean, I had some pretty random, you know, different scenes, I should say, planned, and you know, I even had Sean not in the trench coat.
Oh, really?
And that didn't go over so well. So, you know, I mean, and I'm not regretful of any of it. I just think that I want to find a project where everybody involved, not just me, wants to create a new franchise.
Sure.
Or revigorate a franchise, but do it with eccentrics, like the way Quentin might have done Friday the 13th, you know, like,
right.
Or he was involved for a minute, and it's like, well, that's an interesting, you know, his voice in that world would be really interesting.
Yes, it would be.
You know, but a standard guy that kind of comes into a manufactured rehash of Jason, I don't know, you know, I mean, or even a great filmmaker that's not really allowed to do, you know, the eccentrics Quentin gets away with. I don't know.
So
I want to be cautious of running right back into a horror film that you know has such a strong following.
I can understand that. It was kind of had to be a little bit of a big shoes to fill, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. What was it like working for the Platinum Dune guys, the Michael Bay and the Brad Fuller? I mean, they've really kind of establish themselves as like the house that's doing these remakes. I mean, they've done obviously many of them now, and they've all been very well done. Do you find that they were, that, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, did you find it to be a favorable working atmosphere with them?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of resources that Michael brings to the table, and I think that, I like that. That was part of the main attraction to this project, to be honest. You know, I just felt like Michael, you know, Michael's shrewd and clever with money and knows how to, you know, and speaks deals, and I come from that same line of work, so it's sort of like, I know how to make things happen. You know, I came in $2 million under on the movie, you know, it's sort
right.
of, you know, it's just, I come from that rock that he comes from, and so that we found that synergy there, and you know, Brad and Drew, you know, are great actualizers of that kind of Michael mentality.
Right.
And so it was one of the main attractions to me signing on to this film.
I knew I was a, you know, it's interesting when you watch a lot of these movies and you review of them like I do, and I knew I was in for something special. You establish yourself from the very first scene in this movie with that bunny rabbit who's jumping out onto the road, and you see the car coming at it, and then it gets squished by the car that you can't see. And I thought, ooh, I'm going to like this. This is going to be good. And you kind of kept that throughout the entire film, that just kind of, you know, what you think might be coming may not be. Sometimes it is, but not always, you know. And I like that about how you did the film. I thought that was one of the main attractions for me. I just wanted to bring that point up because how much I enjoyed it. So, this is kind of a random statement. But
hey guys, sorry to jump in. We're going to need to wrap it up.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll make it about another minute and a half, okay?
What's that? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Just real quick, I wanted to touch on the special features of the disc. The whole alternate ending, all that stuff. Did you go into this with the plans of shooting these just for the disc? Or, you know, what was the...
Embarrassingly enough, I was not consulted on the DVD.
Oh, really? Are you serious?
I had made myself available, but I'm not actually sure. There's no bad water, but for whatever reason, they said that they had it under, they had everything they needed. And I was like, well, okay.
is that something you...
I didn't question it, you know, because I don't, you know, I mean, they have their reasons for what they do.
Sure.
But I just got handed what's on it. I haven't seen the DVD, but I got handed what the features are, and I don't know what some of the stuff is, but I know the alternate ending is probably the original ending that I wanted, which I'm not necessarily sure that it's right. I think it's actually right for the DVD.
Okay.
But what it is I had originally been undersatisfied by the third, you know, that she just shoots him after all that she's been through. She just gets out the truck and shoots him three times and he's dead.
Right.
And so I was like, well, let's have the last bullet not work. You know, the gun jams or it's out of bullets or whatever it is, you know, and she's stuck there with a half shot up Sean, you know, with cops, you know, headed their direction, and she's got, you know, once again has to decide, you know, this time she decides to finish him off. Like, fuck you, dude.
Right.
No. And she pistol beats him and has to go real animalistic, which to me ultimately ends it in an interesting way from a pure character standpoint. It may not be satisfying as an audience then, but from a character standpoint, I thought that essentially she's gone from the happy, springy college girl in the beginning
right.
all the way to an animalistic killer.
Exactly. And that's exactly how it comes across. I have to agree with you 100%. I think it worked. I mean, both endings work, but I think this one was a more interesting ending.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. Okay, well, we better wrap it up so we don't get anybody in any trouble. Dave, I want to thank you again for taking the time, and we'll send the link along to your office once we get the interview posted up on the site, okay?
Okay, cool, thanks.
Thanks a lot. It was great talking to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.